The idea of quiet quitting, I think it stems from years of employees being abused in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Episode 15.
We in it.
Slash episode 99.
Slash episode 99, man. We made it.
We are here.
The Gretzky episode.
You could say that. Yeah.
We did it.
We itching closer. It only took 4 years, man.
Only took 4 years, man, to get. Hey, I think we've been doing. We're pretty good.
We move at our own pace. You know,
move at our own pace.
Exactly.
We don't do it for anybody else. We do it for us.
100%. We are back. We are back, and we're in it, Malik. What are you saying?
Oh man, same old, same old. Just trying to enjoy the ending of summer here, man. Yeah. I feel like it's really flown by, and I know that I had like a big vacation in July that like felt like it took up the most of it here.
Yeah,
you know, we're already basically midway through August right now.
It's moving
quick, man.
August got somewhere to be, yo.
Yeah, August is like, hey, I can't wait for you guys now. But you know, it's tough to see the summer come and go because there's only so many good months that we get in this country.
Bro, you know what I hate? I'm starting to see people post about like how they can't wait for Halloween to come up.
Yeah, stop.
Stop.
Stop. People who are still into Halloween as like grown adults either are people who are like going to like clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or have kids.
Right.
Or something like that. You know what I mean? But like, even then, like I wouldn't be excited to take my kid out for Halloween. The weather's always ass.
It's ass. Bro.
And like it's like
fall is cool, but like not, I don't know.
No, Halloween.
I don't need summer to be over that bad for fall to kick in.
Facts.
You know, or like
I get
winter.
Christmas. I get people being like, oh, I can't wait till Christmas, but like, oh, we're in August right now.
Yeah.
Like,
winter's cool for that 1 week, man. From the 25th to the January 1st.
Yeah. Like, that when it, first snowfall, when it's like first
it's
snowfall.
Nice, beautiful.
Like, remember when the snow was falling on like the last day of school before the break.
Yeah.
That like that
classic
feeling when you
memory.
Get home, that feeling just hits so different, bro.
Yeah.
Like
until you're living it the day after and it's just gross outside.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, I'm done. I'm off
pack
this.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I'm not. I don't know. Again, like this was a really great summer. I think the fall will be nice. I always really like September. It's a nice like transition month.
Yeah.
Like warm weather and then like the fall, but
I always feel like I need to be in school.
Yeah.
It's weird. I haven't gotten over it yet.
Yeah.
It's a weird
September's
feeling,
are weird for that.
Yeah. Because you go through most of your life knowing September as like back to school.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I still haven't shaken that. I feel like I need to be in an exam or like I missed a class or something like that. It's odd. It's very odd.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like you accidentally took a course at Humber and like your days are just tanking for years.
Meanwhile, I have a 9-to-5 that has no breaks, you know.
Yeah. What about you? What's going on? Man has a big birthday.
Hey, big birthday flex.
Let's go.
Man's 33.
Yeah, man's 33. Yeah, right.
Nah, my friends are the best, yo. They planned a surprise birthday party for me on Saturday. I thought I was going to a club with two friends, and I pull up to pre at this my friend's house. Shout out to Alyssa, and there's a bunch of people there, just like, you know, with sparklers and everything. Surprise birthday! I'm like, so we're not going to the club, or like what?
You know, yeah, like, did you guys actually end up going?
No, that was like a house party.
That's dope.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
For the record, Odie, if you're listening to this, appreciate the invite, man. I had a crazy headache on Saturday night that it was just crippling me, so I couldn't do anything about it. Promise you I take you out for dinner or lunch,
yes,
or
sir.
Drinks, whatever it is.
Five-star restaurant.
Five-star restaurant. Yes, only the best.
Drake
McDonald's.
Will be right beside us. Only the best.
But only the best McDonald's in due time. But man, another year older, another year wiser. How's it feel?
100%. It feels the same. But
literally.
Won't lie to you. When I hit 30, maybe that'll feel like a milestone. But
doesn't really feel that different.
Doesn't either?
No, it doesn't really
feel
we
created all of these.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what
age
it
is.
Age
is a construct.
You know?
You're only as old as you...
You feel old.
I balled like the other weekend.
And, oh yeah,
like,
I remember that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, my ankles are still kind of recovering. It is what it is.
Hey,
but
it is what it is.
Congrats on the birthday, man.
Thank you, sir.
Shout out to Doc. Send him some love on IG. Let's get into these topics.
Tell me your favorite thing about me on IG, and yeah. I will like the comment I like the most. Cool.
Like the podcast.
Yeah.
The part where Malik talks, though.
100%. You know? Yeah, fuck that.
Let's get it.
Let's do it. We got some
topics today. We got some, like, good ones.
We got to do it. I know you have neither of these, but... Disney Plus, Netflix. You have said it yourself. You don't really watch... shows. You don't really watch movies.
You know what?
Like, I think you got Netflix though, right?
Yeah, I use my girlfriend's, but like
he's a freeloader.
Dude. Big time. I use. I'm watching Stranger Things.
Yo, finally, season. Yeah, new season. Yeah, fire.
Good, man.
But what we're saying, so Disney Plus is finally past Netflix. Somewhat, I'll explain what that means in the total subscriber count for the first time.
Oh, say less.
So Disney Plus is like 240 million. Netflix is like 239 million at this point. So it's very close.
Yeah.
But if you read behind it, Disney Plus owns ESPN and Hulu. So those numbers are being added to it.
Factored in.
You know, but all the headlines just say Disney Plus beats Netflix. But
right.
As a streaming company, Disney Plus has more.
Right.
Like a streaming service, Netflix has more.
I also think that like Disney Plus, like I don't know what happened with Netflix, but like their like original series production has been like pretty subpar in recent
Netflix?
Years.
Netflix?
Yeah.
They have, yeah.
Like I remember back in the day, I was like, man, I'm getting Netflix just for the original content that they produce. That's the dope part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really, like other than Stranger Things, like I'm not like really a big fan. And I also think that like Disney Plus has like sports and all that kind of stuff, but also has like
Star Wars,
Marvel, all these like those.
Those were huge deals for them, man.
Oh, for
and that's
sure.
the reason they're winning right now because that has so much history behind it.
Yeah,
you know, versus Netflix, their biggest is Stranger Things, and then I guess Squid Game and like The Crown. But like those don't hold the same weight as
definitely not
Marvel. They will never, you know. There's not the same amount of equity, so it's kind of clear why Disney Plus is winning, but I actually don't use Disney Plus.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
No.
I'm also not that big on Marvel and Star Wars, so I mean, there's not a big draw for me, but...
You still use Netflix, though.
Yeah, I still use Netflix for, like, the reality TV stuff Indian matchmaking.
Love is Blind.
But those aren't huge global shows, right?
No,
they come and they go in the U.S.
Right.
So it's not going to be enough for them to itch past Disney Plus, but we're just going to continue to see that trend, I think. Disney Plus is going to just... lap them, to be honest.
I think so too. Netflix has kind of lost its popularity here a little bit.
Yeah, man.
And like, I don't know. I remember when all these streaming services started to come out that it was like, okay, Netflix loses the rights to this.
Slowly, The Office they lost.
And like all the biggest reasons why people actually like use it in the first place aren't the same reasons why they would have gotten it in the first place anymore.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to see how Netflix adapts to this because, like, is it original content that they, like, come back into? Like, I think, like, the rights to a lot of these, like, super popular shows and franchises, like, that's too far gone. So now you have to rely.
Now
you got to double down and invest in, like, the, you know, the content production piece. But, like, I don't know. Disney Plus has all these, like, Star Wars original shows and like Marvel. I'm like, man, like I don't see how you can come back from that. Like this is
over 100 years of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the
amount of money that Disney has versus Netflix is just not fair.
I remember when Disney Plus first came out. And I was like, oh, I can watch like Star
all the old
Wars
shows
Empire and... Strikes Back. Yeah. Nice. And now it's like turned into this huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which
original content.
Yeah.
I remember thinking like because it's Disney, they wouldn't have like mature, like graphic content.
Sure.
But then they got Marvel, and I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that it's like such a huge company. You
know
what I mean? That it has a totally different, like, if you say, oh, I have Disney Plus, like, I'm not looking at you being like, okay, now he's just watching, like,
children's shows.
Finding Nemo, or if that's a Disney.
That's what it was in the beginning, right? They're like, it's a nostalgia thing. Like, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'll watch some Family Channel stuff, but I won't stay around. Like,
I'll watch a couple episodes of Zach and Cody up in there.
Yo, you guys smart guys, Zach and Cody.
Bro,
my
the real life of Dak and Odie.
Yeah, sweet life of Dak and
like
Odie.
The guys just like tagging on. I was like,
we gotta bring it back, man. We gotta bring it back.
So let us know what you think. Do you have Disney Plus? Let us know what you prefer: Netflix, Disney Plus, any of these other Crave. Like Crave's in the background.
Shout to Crave, bro.
Is it good?
That's my shit. Yeah, because it's HBO. It's all HBO.
Oh, okay. That's
Canadian
legit.
HBO, pretty
that's
much.
That's legit. Entourage.
Yeah. Entourage, all on that. Oh, the Wire, Sopranos, Insecure.
Netflix is holding an L.
Yeah,
they're just straight up holding
man,
an L.
Man, I only use it for the dumb shows, to be honest. Like the ones that I don't even want to mention, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What did we talk about when we turn the audio recording off.
Yeah, 100%. I'll tell you what I watch. But yeah, we'll see how that develops. Disney Plus crushing them right now, but is what it is. Let's move on. I saw this on TikTok, actually, and then I saw this on LinkedIn, too.
Yeah, I saw it on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, so the concept is called quiet quitting. And I think when I saw that as a term, I thought it meant, like, slowly ghosting your employer. like, quietly quitting.
Yeah, it's like, ah, damn. Like, doing one less task a day until you're fired.
Until you're fired. And just, like, dipping without 2 weeks' notice. That's what I thought when I first saw it. But racked up like 3 million views on TikTok, thousands of comments, and the idea is doing the bare minimum at work without getting fired to avoid, you know, stress and like achieving work-life balance.
Right.
So not, you know, taking on extra work, you know, you're not doing more than you're paid to do, you're just doing what's in your job description, clocking in, clocking out, and that's how you should see work.
Yeah.
So this goes out, obviously, you know, the guy that, you know, started this, TikTok or whatever, he's quite young. It's resonating with, like, the Gen Z kind of audience, early millennials. And on LinkedIn, caused a crazy stir. You got all these managers that are way older.
Yeah.
You can tell just by how they're commenting and their profile picture and everything. But they're just calling this concept lazy and that it makes no sense. And you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to be promoted. And they hate how this generation thinks this way. And I have two ways to kind of go about this, but I'm curious what you think when you think of the concept of quiet quitting. Number one, that label and like what it represents and how you feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, like the labeling piece is just like putting a name to something that like people have probably been doing for a time. So it's like, yeah, go ahead, Gen Z, like claim that one if you guys need it.
Yeah.
But I think it speaks to a lot of things. I think it speaks to like one, how much we work as a society now more than ever.
Yep. Hustle culture.
Yeah. Hustle culture. Like I remember back in the day we were like, oh, we need to, that's why this thing started. The podcast all this, cause it started.
We're
keeners. We need to do something like different. That's going to help us set us up for this. Like, do I regret it? Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. but no, like it's like a lot of people look at these things and it's like, if I don't work my ass off, if I don't have like two or three kind of things going on, even outside of my job, then like I am not valuable. I am not good enough to do X, Y, Z. And when it's like, well, hang on, like, have you ever stopped to think about like why we work so much? And I think I got such a good taste of that life, like working in advertising and working in marketing generally.
Move quick.
It's like move so fast. What do we need to do to make this happen? Blah, 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 blah. Work through this. And I'm like, okay, like, stop for like 2 seconds and like think about this from a holistic perspective. Like none of the stuff that we're actually doing like really matters that much. So I understand why people in, you know, in this Gen Z category are making this a thing. Like it's a statement to say, you know, like we value like humanity and work-life balance so much more that, you know, it's, we have to bring these kind of issues to light. Otherwise, it's just going to keep moving in a specific direction where, like, we're just going to have a society of continually burnt out people.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
I also think it's a very funny contrast between LinkedIn and the TikTok community. Yeah. Because those are very, very different groups of people.
100%.
Like, Gen Z is, like, I mean, LinkedIn, I feel like, is the TikTok for like boomers and like weird, like career obsessed people.
100%.
And like, we'll get into that in just a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get through this topic first. But I feel like I understand why people feel this way, you know, and I understand why people from another generation call it being lazy. Well, I think we're at a position now where like people are working twice as hard for twice as less than, someone from the, you know, whatever, boomer category that exists.
And for what? Like you're depressed, you're overly stressed, all for just a job that, you know, doesn't really mean much in the grand scheme of things.
Doesn't give a fuck about you.
So that's where I think it stems from. I think this should be like a wake-up call to those managers. Instead of calling these people lazy, how about you look a bit inward and you're like, how are we not setting you up to enjoy, obviously you know, no one really enjoys work to full capacity, but you know, to enjoy what you do, to like feel fulfilled, you know, are we giving you enough vacation and paid time off, mental health days? Are we making sure that you're not doing the job of two people as one person earning one salary?
Yeah.
You know, like these are all things that you can change, and people won't maybe have that mentality of, I'm going to come in and do the absolute bare minimum and not care whatsoever, not put my hand up to be involved in anything. Like, I do those things because I enjoy where I work, you know, or I've enjoyed where I've worked in the past. Like, they've been companies that allowed me to want to join a fucking social committee because it was a cool company, you know, and I felt like I was respected at that company. The idea of quiet quitting, I think it stems from years of employees being abused in a way.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. 100%. I think you articulated that perfectly because it's like, this is a natural reaction to a generation of people saying, like, we don't see the value in this. And, like, employers are like, well, you need me to earn a living. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I do, and I will work at your company, but you don't pay me to give more than two fucks 100%. About the place, right?
You know what it's like? We both worked at grocery stores.
Yeah.
When something just not worth your pay grade.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember I was walking to the back room at No Frills and this customer snaps in my face to get my attention. And I'm just like, I don't get paid enough for this shit. Like, I kept walking in the back. I'm like, I don't care. Like, if I get fired for that, I don't care.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to disrespect me, devalue me here. Stuff like that, right? Where it's like, I remember a dog like shit in front of No Frills, and I'm like, I'm not cleaning this up, man. I'm sorry.
It's just not happening.
Y'all gonna have to find someone down for this, but I'm not doing this.
Yeah, like straight up.
For my $10 an hour, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I respectfully can't go there. I can't do it. And that's the thing, man. Like, I feel like there's so many of these, like, these companies that are looking inwards and being like, what do we do to address our retention problems? Or why don't people stay working here? I wonder why. Well, like, I don't know how else to frame this up to you in a way that doesn't make you feel, like, completely clueless. But, like, have you looked at the infrastructure of your company? Have you looked at, like, why people are leaving?
Yeah.
Have you looked at why people are doing this, like, quiet quitting thing? And mind you, like, I understand where people are coming from. I can never do something like this. Because, like, I have a lot of integrity for, like, myself and, like, the product that I put out there into the world.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, like, because of years and years of, like, working in a specific industry that, you know, rewards that type of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I also can't do the bare minimum because I care too much about, like, how I present myself in front of, you know, the people around me and, you know.
You want to be seen as reliable. And
I want people to look at me and say,
Not that he just clocks in and disappears.
That guy's like useless. That guy doesn't go. So like next time there's layoffs or something like that, they're not like, all right, let's trim the fat here.
And that's what the managers on LinkedIn were saying. They're like, don't be surprised when you're in the first round of layoffs. Totally. You know what I think a lot of it kind of stems from too? I find with an older generation, when they see the younger folks not having to go through what they did, they get mad about it because they had to go through that torture.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, you should have to do that as well.
Yeah.
You should have to suffer as well. You see it with parents. You see it with so many different situations. Totally. But don't you want better for the younger generation?
Yeah, don't you want just better overall?
And better overall, to be honest.
That's the thing. Like, you know, when it's like, oh, well, don't be surprised when you're in the first round of layoffs. It's like, well, layoffs happen because a company is trying to maintain the bottom line anyways. So, like, let's stop pretending like this is anything more than just, like, you guys just getting more money or, like, optimizing the structure of your business so that the people at the top can maintain a successful business model that allows them to maximize their profits.
Yeah.
Like, let's start there. So it's like, oh, well, don't be surprised when you get fired because we need to make more money. Okay, well, like, I think the reason why I'm doing this in the first place is because, like, I don't give a shit that you're making more money.
Yeah.
I don't care that you're doing this. So it's like, if I have to be part of a, like, layoffs or whatever, and I'm not speaking from my own position because, like I said, like, I have a lot of integrity for what I do, how I present myself, how I conduct my work. I think that, like, if that's your response to it, then you're still not understanding why people are doing these certain things.
Yeah. And not even trying to understand either.
Yeah. You're just like, you're using your own logic against you almost.
Yeah. I feel like we got to talk about the layoffs with the CEO going viral and
crying. Oh, we absolutely have to.
Let's do that one first. Yeah, so this is just like this picture.
Okay, everybody has seen this. This is the stupidest shit I've ever seen, and I hate it. So go.
Yeah, so there's a CEO. I don't even know his name. I don't care. I'm not going to, you know, even say that. But
yeah, don't give him that.
Yeah, no. So you went viral on LinkedIn for posting this long, long, long post with a picture of him crying. And essentially, to sum up the post, he's basically talking about how much it affects him as a CEO to be laying off a bunch of his employees and how devastated he is and how it's, like, affected his day and his mood and made the whole post about himself, pretty much, and not even really about the layoffs that had to happen.
They did not have to happen.
Regardless of even the crying picture, it was already a bad post, just in the tone of it.
Yeah.
Now you have him crying, like, full crying picture. So that means he had to be crying, take a picture, look at that picture and evaluate it, and be like, not good enough, let me get another angle. Yeah, yeah. And then post it on LinkedIn.
Give me the visine.
You know, so it's like you look at that on the service level and you're like, this is completely tone deaf. Like, no one at that company said, hey, don't do this, or no one around you, or even your own just general thinking fully thought this was a good idea to do. After I started digging into it a bit deeper, he owns a marketing agency. So he's the CEO. I'm not even going to say the name.
Yeah.
So then I'm starting to think, like, was that plan just to go viral, because he's dubbing himself the crying CEO now. Was that to get more attention on your company, or are you really just that tone deaf?
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest.
Both?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, he probably saw an opportunity and was like, oh, well, I'm going to run with this now.
Yeah. Because
now people know me as this. That's another thing where I'm looking at, I'm like, I'll never fucking work for that company.
No.
I'll never even consider it.
The disrespect to the employees.
It's like dunking on somebody that's already down. Like, you know what I mean? Here's the thing about LinkedIn. There's a lot of, like, posts and shit like this that go around. In fact, when you sent me that in our group chat, I had already received another article or post like that from my boss, who's just roasting the shit out of something very, very similar. She sent it to me, my coworker, and I was like,
"Oh, it was different.
Dude, it's a different post, the same shit." It was like showed a picture of a guy like crying.
Oh my god!
And it's like a whole, like, it was like a recruiter or something where he like had to like let go or poison get a job. Like, I don't know what it was. I was like, "Stop!"
Nah.
Like, what? Like, one, like, people frame these types of things up as like, oh well, like, I need to show the people that I have emotions, show people that I'm vulnerable and I have feelings too. But like, you don't understand what that actually does to, like,
the opposite.
The regular people. It has a complete opposite effect.
Yeah.
And then to, like, rebrand yourself as the crying CEO is incredibly, the
cherry on top.
Incredibly insulting. And it's like, everything that you're trying to do here is going the complete opposite of what you intend and what you think this is.
Yeah.
The only people who, like, might see or agree with this or, like, see this as some type of, like, good thing are probably other fucking CEOs.
Yeah.
Or, like, I understand your struggle.
The pain.
I get the pain. It's like, shut up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get why people go on. Like, LinkedIn is so cringy. Like, we could do an entire episode on
the cringiness of 100%.
Dude.
It's the fact that, like, because we all know what it takes to post a picture online.
Totally.
You take the picture, you have to look at the picture, post the picture, wait for it to upload, and you did that all while crying. So we're supposed to believe these are, like, real tears and, like, this is an authentic moment and not completely staged to go viral when you own a marketing social marketing agency.
Yeah.
It's, like, you know what I mean?
And what's the message out there, too?
What is the message?
Hey, if it was all, like, a joke and whatever, it's like, okay, yeah, like, you proved your point. Like, people react to really stupid shit on the internet. That's not new news, dude. You don't have to be a brilliant marketer to understand that, like, this is the type of cringe shit that people hate online.
And use the moment of your staff being laid off for a lesson, a social lesson. Like, what is that?
Yeah, like, it's like,
you know,
oh, like, okay, like, what is this supposed to do?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me, I always go back to this example because, like, marketers always think it's like, well, I exceeded my impressions or I over-delivered on my engagement metrics and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, remember that Pabst ad where it's like, hey, celebrate New Year, eat ass or something like that, whatever it was. Yeah, dude. This guy, like, that guy got fired. And I mentioned this a couple times on the podcast. This guy's, like, is so proud of himself that, like, he, like, broke a record, like, engagement. Like, okay, you're out of a job. And, like, if I was another company, I would not hire you because of that specific reason. So, like, what are you gaining out of this?
I really hope he lost clients.
Oh, this
CEO, because it's a marketing agency, right? So I'm sure you already have clients on deck, and I hope that they would look at this and be like, nah, this is not it.
No, this is some dumb shit,
you know? But I know what he's going to do. I can already tell in the pitch deck, it's going to be like, we know how to go viral.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the classic marketing bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's one thing that I hate about this industry. It's like, people are like...
Viral by any means.
Yeah, viral by any means. Be in the spotlight for 2 seconds, and then you're good to go. But I would rather be in this... I'd rather not be in the spotlight for being normal than like being in the spotlight for like... intentionally doing stupid shit that's going to aggravate people.
That's going to aggravate people and disrespect people, right?
And disrespect,
like, people actually got laid off. It's not a joke. Like,
yeah. If I'm looking at this being like, oh man, like that's actually kind of shitty. Or if I was an employee, I'd go on that post right now and be like, hey, if you feel so bad, how come like you worked to like actually make this happen? Like you made the decision to lay off a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
Like you did this for the sake of like, profit
100%
and money in your pocket.
Yeah,
like you did this, so like how can you possibly feel bad about something like this?
Yeah,
I don't understand that. It's controlled this entire situation to happen. You fired X amount of employees from your organization. You made a post on LinkedIn crying about it, and now you're boasting about, you know, being that guy that went viral.
Yeah.
Or like purposefully firing X amount of employees. Like I'll never understand.
CEOs are so, cause we've talked about it multiple times, right? Like, I don't know if you remember the mortgage company, the real estate company that like laid off people right before the holidays and the CEO had to announce that. You also have the Shopify situation where they lay off 10% of staff and then there's a press release the next day. They're spending $100 million on this new email kind of marketing company. And it's like, you couldn't wait like a little bit longer to get that. I know business is business, whatever it is, but like, you couldn't wait a bit longer to get that out.
Yeah, it's...
The day after, you're just like, yeah, we just spent $100 million on this acquiring a new company.
Yeah, it's like, damn, okay.
It's crazy.
It's like they looked at that and was like, I really like this tool. I really want to buy this company, but... You know, it means that we're going to have to get rid of people. Well, how many? I don't know, 1,000?
Yeah.
Done.
No problem.
Sign the contract. we'll do it in the meantime. Yeah. That's the thing.
Press release in the morning. Like,
it's not just people on LinkedIn, too, man.
It's not, yeah.
Or CEOs on LinkedIn, I should say. It's like, it's just like embarrassing shit that like people think is like trendy and is like, you know, provides a level of like vulnerability on their posts. It tries to like allow them to open up, and like social media is a really weird tool that like people see as like an opportunity to like fabricate the truth and meaning and honor and all this kind of stuff that I'm just like, this, I just don't understand how you can like look
where
at
it comes,
like
yeah.
look at some people's posts and be like, okay, well, this is extremely cringy. I remember LinkedIn was, like, the place that I went to like, apply for jobs.
That was it. Build my personal brand, quote, unquote.
Yeah, build my personal brand.
And apply for jobs. Like, I think the day when I saw a divorce post on LinkedIn was when I knew this was not the platform for me.
Yeah.
This guy's saying, like, how he's overcome adversity, you know, out of his divorce. And I'm like, this is not what you think it is, man.
I saw that, too.
We're long gone here, man. This is, yo, we cannot go back. We cannot go back. This is what it is now.
It's crazy.
Crying selfies, divorce posts.
It's funny because I'm like, I'm on the post right now, as we're talking. And I'm like looking at... I'm looking at like all the comments. They are just completely
for the CEO one.
Yeah. They're completely just like
roasting
the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you possibly respond to this? Yeah, like this one person says, I'm always interested in the actual nuts and bolts intent of a post like this, and I'm like, yeah, I totally agree. And Jermaine, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Jupiter. Yeah.
Dropping a comment on there. He's got 418 likes. I'm going to like that too.
Yeah, he's been going in. He's been going in about this. Yeah. Like, it's just, yeah.
It's cringe.
We can jump off this, but this is just, it's too much. You know?
Let us know what you think. I think I already know what all you guys think about this, though, if you're listening to this. But
it's going
to
be a social post of the guy's face crying. Why not?
Yeah. That's it.
Maddox logo right in the middle.
CEOs, come on, guys. Get your shit together. If I can go through the shit that I go through in my life, you can handle, you know, being in a position of power where you make millions of dollars a year.
You won't die.
Yeah, big time. But let's jump in here. This is another one that kind of ties into the workplace. It's really interesting, actually. And I know that we've been on the last couple of episodes and the last little bit, even the last couple of years, we talked a lot about, like, what does a return to office situation look like? What does this actually
fuck
mean
the
for
office?
People?
No, I'm joking.
A lot of people feel that way, right?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting stat, a study that was done that says 24% of Canadians said they're likely to quit their job in the next year if it required a return to office plan.
Yeah.
Among those polled who currently work from home on at least a part-time basis, if their jobs require them to return to office, 10% of Canadians said they would quit their job immediately. 28% said that they would return but begin looking for another job that might offer more flexibility.
Thought that'd be higher, but yeah, that's the camp I'd fall into.
Well, dude, it's like, and these are some real-time numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like the numbers that people should be paying attention to, especially if you're like an employer or like a CEO, let's call it. If you're monitoring these stats, understanding people's behaviors, then you have to pay attention to this shit.
100%.
24% of Canadians are going to leave their job in the next year if it requires them to like return back to an office.
Fully, yeah.
So what are these places doing to say, okay, the writing's on the wall, people don't want to be here. What do we need to do to make this more, you know, how do we reorganize our infrastructure of this company to make sure that people feel comfortable coming into the office while still maintaining a work-life balance? Is that possible?
The good CEOs or the good leaders will do that, right? They will look at this data. Hopefully, they would already be thinking of that before this data kind of comes out, of like, how do we accommodate for flexible lifestyles and flexible workplace situations.
Yeah.
But then you have examples like, you know, Elon Musk, where he's like, no, everyone now needs to come back in. If you don't, you'll lose your job. And he said that plainly. Sent an email out to all Tesla employees and tweeted it as well. And that's a hard stance he's taking. He's like, y'all are lazy at home. You need to come in. And that there's going to be CEOs in Canada that feel that same way, you know, that are going to be like
the same people who are like,
100%. Y'all are lazy. You know, so for them, they're going to be like, we're not going to adapt. It's like my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And that's not a place you want to work. No, right. Those aren't the companies that are going to thrive outside of, I guess, Tesla, you know, but
because actually like that means that like the CEO actually doesn't give a fuck about you.
No. Yeah.
That same CEO is the same.
They're not in the office every day. They're doing whatever they want. Right.
Yeah. With the cottage.
Yeah, literally, right? So I think you have to adapt, right? Like, I'm in the camp of, I think I mentioned it on the podcast last year, like, if my company came out and said 5 days a week, non-negotiable, I wouldn't quit that day, but very much I would be on LinkedIn looking for jobs right away, you know? And it sounds like 28% also agree with that, which I thought that'd even be higher, to be honest, but you need to adapt to flexible lifestyles. We cannot just go back to what we did before 2020. Then we would have learned nothing.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, it's driving us to this, like, it adds to this overworking of society.
Yeah.
Over, like, you know, to your point from earlier, very much like, well, I had to do this when I worked, so you have to do it too. Like, with that comes no actual progress. It's actually kind of fascinating that we're working through this time right now, because something like this has never happened in history for the majority of people who work like an office job.
No.
But it's very much like applicable, right? So like people, but it causes so much shit to fall apart, right? Like, okay, let's say 30% of people working in the downtown core said, I'm going to not work downtown anymore and I am going to work from home.
Yeah.
Like, that changes real estate. That changes, like, traffic.
Which it has already, right?
Totally.
Yeah, 100%. Totally.
It changes so much that I think that, like, you know, the rent of, like, buildings, like, people who, like, own properties, it's like, well, you know, how do we justify paying for this space? Maybe you don't justify paying for the space.
Yeah.
It's going to take a few years to, like, at least phase out a lease or something like that. But, like, there's so many, like, in my last agency put, like, sections of the agency up for lease or, yeah, like, studios that they owned up for lease because it's like, well, like, yeah, like, we're not actually using this anymore. So, like, let's downsize accordingly.
You're already seeing it with them developing. So condos weren't, like a one-bedroom studio were not made to have people working from home.
Yeah.
You're already starting to see with new developments that they're having those spaces for, like, you to have your desk and you to have a living room separate. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're starting to see that in infrastructure, and it's starting to change. Even in the condo amenities, like, they're starting to have, like, co-working spaces in the condos because they know people want to stay there and not have to commute. You know, I remember when I got my place, like, shout to Cam, he's like, just so you know, like, you're going to be paying more for utilities because you're at home longer. Like, before, like, the average I would tell you before when you would go in the office is different, but you're using your lights constantly now. You're, you know, and it's something I didn't even think of until he said that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, people are paying more for utilities now than they probably ever did before
because
you're at home.
It's a really interesting perspective on, like, the...
The changes, man.
The changes and what this means and how people adapt to this stuff. Because, like, it's much more complicated than, you know, just, okay, well, everyone's going to work from home and that's it. There's so many, like, problems.
It's layers
that,
well,
not
to it,
problems, but, like, things that fall out from something like that. Living space thing, like, I'm fortunate to have a place where, like, I've made my own little working space.
Yeah, you have enough room.
It works. It works perfectly for me, but, like, not a lot of people do. Like, when I was in my last apartment, you've been there a billion times.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a small place.
Tiny.
And I remember, like, having to work into my room for hours and hours on end in a day. And I would barely see the sun come up and I'd barely see the sun go down because there's, like, no lighting or anything.
Yeah, man.
So it's like people who are, like, investing in these, like, big condo developments and all that kind of stuff must be like, well, people will come here, but, like, there's so much push and pull with, like, comfortability with where you're living and how that factors into, like, returning to office and what that means. Because if I lived in a really, like, not so great spot,
I'd probably want to
go in more to get me out of there, to be more productive, to feel more productive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it definitely translates to, like, what your home setup is like. Because I remember my last company, this is a guy that had a lot of young kids. He had a lot of young kids, right? He needed that place to get away from them.
Yeah,
you know, as bad as that may sound, but, like...
No, it's fair.
For parents, you know, like, it's a real thing. When your kids are constantly running around while you're trying to work, it's very hard to get work done. So he was a huge advocate of wanting to be in the office constantly because that's what he did before the pandemic, and it worked for him. There's flexible situations. We're not all the same. I don't have kids, so my situation's a little different. I have a great workspace that's separated from my living room and from everything else, but not everyone has that, right? So you need to be flexible with this plan. Like, it can't just be a one-size-fits-all. And I would think after 2 years we would learn that, but there's a lot of CEOs, a lot of leadership that is just like, nope, right back to what
we
got to
do, and this is how it's going
to
be.
I had to go through it for my career. Y'all got to go through it now.
And there's no question about, like, why. Like, there's no one questioning being like, why the fuck are we doing this?
Yeah.
So that's how it happens. So the moment that someone says, well, why? At least for my team, man, like, listen, my office has, and I'm exposing myself, my office has a, like, a return to office plan where it's like, now it's like 2 days a week.
Yeah.
And the fall is going to be 3 days a week. Like,
it's ramping up.
Back, you know, ramping up.
Right.
And I'm like, I said to my team, I'm like, listen, guys, just pop in the day that everybody else is there.
Yeah.
To, like, show face. And then if you guys want to work from home, then
I love that. Yeah.
Then do it. I'm not going to
get your attendance check and then bounce.
Yeah. Even though I'm kind of, like, snitching, ratting myself out. I think it's important to have that flexibility. I think
100%.
It's super important for people, especially commuting. Like, I definitely don't want, like, I go to my office a lot because I live relatively close. Like, I can walk there if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, if I have to commute, like, I remember commuting from, like, our old place when we went to Humber all the way downtown. And I'm like, man, that shit was actually, like...
It was rough.
That was terrible.
Yeah, man.
That was really
bad. Some people
bad.
Have it even worse, man. Like, imagine all the people that moved outside the city.
Yeah, like, totally.
And now they're being told that they have to make an effort to come back, even if that's 3 days a week.
Right.
Like, if I move to Hamilton or to Barrie or whatever, and now I have to factor in that commute, It's going to make me a little bit disengaged as a employee, put it that way.
No, absolutely. And I also feel like, I don't know, like these are also probably the same people who are part of that statistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at the end of the day, the people who like are wanting to work from home or not go to an office space, then, you know, I think at the end of the day, it just doesn't make any sense for that type of person.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, you know, to wrap our 99th episode.
99, Gretzky.
We got to give them a little taste of what's to come for the next one.
Yes, sir.
So 100 comes after 99 last time I checked.
Yeah, last time I checked.
It might change.
But we're thinking something. We're cooking up something a little bit different for our next episode. We want to do something big, something that we haven't been able to do in, you know, a number of years.
100%.
Putting this together. And we're really excited to, you know, put on maybe a little event, maybe get some folks together and maybe do.
We want to celebrate with the supporters, the people that have listened to the podcast. If you shared it, if you've been on it, you know, all of that. We got something planned. We don't want to reveal too much until we have things solidified, but we're cooking right now.
Yes, sir.
We got things in motion, and 100 episodes is not going to go unnoticed. We are going to have a proper celebration for it.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little bit to plan this one out, but you'll see it. We're excited for it. Hope you are too. Episode 15 in the books, baby. 99. Peace.
Wayne Gretzky.